And that's such a harmful message, in my opinion. And maybe, again, that's not the film's intention, but that's how that's what the cinematography puts it apart, right?
You're the most handsome man in this room, and there's two of us.
I disagree.
Man, I'd be willing to bet you're the most handsome man in the world.
I disagree. I will bet 5 times the amount you bet on that.
Nah, well, then you're going to win, like, 5 times the amount of the 5 times that you bet.
That's not happening, man.
All right, and with that, agreeing that you're the most handsome man in the world, it's the perfect time to start this new episode. And welcome, everybody, to another episode of Popping the Bubble. Today, I'm going to be doing something slightly different because I'm joined by Toby Le. You're from Vietnam.
I am.
Sophomore.
Yep.
Studying history.
Yeah.
And also going to be studying film.
Yeah, film studies. Actually, yeah.
So in the spirit of film studies, we're just going to be discussing about this new popular movie that just came out. You're citing already. That we went to watch today, which is The Joker.
Yeah, we literally just got back from watching it like an hour ago. And I have some very strong feelings and thoughts about why this is not a great movie.
Well, I want to dive right into that because I kind of agree with you. However, we were discussing this on the bus, and I think that you can explain in better words than I can what happened. I mean, what? So you say it's not a great movie, and I agree. What went wrong for you? What was the main issue with the movie? And wait, before we even start, spoiler warning to everybody who's listening to this right now. We will be discussing, I hope that in detail.
A lot. We're going to be discussing this movie in a significant amount of detail. And we're going to be spoiling the ending as well as several, I wouldn't call them crucial because I don't think many of the scenes in this movie are crucial, but some, let's say, important scenes.
Yeah, so spoiler warning. If you don't want to get spoiled about this movie, turn off this podcast right now. You can go listen to the previous episodes. I suggest you do because they're really, really good.
I agree. Very, very good.
And then you can come back to this one after you watch the movie and join the discussion with us. Toby's a little bit sick. So
I apologize for that.
He'll be coughing a little bit. I'm also slightly sick, just getting out of sickness. So bear with us. So with that, Toby, what went so wrong in this movie?
Man, so this whole movie is supposed to be a character piece about the Joker. And yet our protagonist is pointless. He has no desires, he has no motivation, and he makes no decisions in the film. Consistently, we see forces being acted upon him and him reacting, usually by running away. He doesn't make an active decision to do anything. There are moments when he appears to almost make a decision, but yet there's just a cop-out, or it's just could have happened in any other way, and it would have been exactly the same. For example, there's this... One of the scenes I actually quite like is when these two people go visit him. They were working with him when he was a clown.
The midget and his friend. Yeah, the one who
not
gave
his
him
friend,
the,
well, the dick one, who threw him under the bus.
The dick who threw him under the bus. Yeah.
And there's this insert where it shows him grabbing a pair of scissors and putting it into his pocket. And then, of course, we know he's gonna kill whoever comes through that door. So it could have been anyone. So you know, he stabs the hell out of this guy and he lets the midget go. But like it was pointless because he doesn't make a decision to kill these specific people. He would have killed anyone who walked through that door. Would have the police, were it anybody else. Also on the subway when he kills these three investment bankers, right? He doesn't make a decision there. Or the film at least doesn't communicate him making a decision. There's a few flashes of darkness and light as, you know, the train lights flicker, but then we see three shots happen, right? There's not a moment of contemplation. He's getting beat up, so he reacts, and they establish that he has the gun beforehand, but he doesn't make a choice. It seems like a reaction. It's like, oh no, what am I going to do? I'm going to shoot these guys. It's not like, okay, I'm sick of being beat up, right? I've been beat up previously by these kids. I'm getting beat up now, and I can't take anymore. I'm going to shoot these guys. I'm going to kill them. That would have been a character choice. That would have been meaningful. No, he doesn't do that.
Right. And it shows a lot about the character, because I agree with you. I did not feel that those that were supposed to be his first killings, that's supposed to be a pretty big moment for the character, because it's finally breaking out from being an innocent civilian into turning into this murderous machine. But it was not a big deal. It almost seemed like an accident.
He really doesn't make it a big deal, too. And that's another big issue I have with this supposedly character piece, is that there's no character development. This is a criticism that Stephen King lopped at The Shining. I don't agree with that specific criticism, but I think it applies here. And that's, our character does not develop. He's supposed to become more crazy, but he starts off so crazy already. The camera frames him like that. It's uncomfortably close to his face. It shoots him in these strange aspect ratios, in these weird corners, and it alienates the subject. It makes him seem more grotesque, makes him seem unpleasant to look at. That's not what you do with a protagonist that we as an audience are supposed to relate with. And he's already doing all these strange things. When he kills these guys, he runs away, but he's totally okay with it. In fact, it gives him confidence. And more killings, he doesn't change after each killing, right? It's not shown naturalizing. He just reacts in the same way. And there's no character development there. He's already crazy, and things happen to him. The most drastic change is that he colors his hair and puts on makeup. But other than that, his character trajectory goes nowhere.
You mentioned something that we're supposed to empathize with the character. And I have a small issue there, because if I'm not mistaken, there were criticisms that arose, I think, from the Sandy Hook group in the U.S. that they wanted to cancel the movie because they were afraid that the movie was going to be portraying a villainous character, a character who kills and murders people just for the sake of it, in an empathetic way, and they were scared that that message would travel across. And if I'm not mistaken, I might be wrong, they were mentioning that this was not the case, that it was not going to be a movie necessarily making that character relatable and empathetic and nice and agreeable, but rather just show his journey. And I think that was something that kind of shot themselves on the leg, because they couldn't decide what tone to take with the movie.
I completely agree.
And you didn't know whether you should relate with the character or not relate. And it speaks also of the dangers of making this a relatable character, which, I don't know, I feel like they were stuck in the middle.
Yeah.
And it didn't give a clear tone to
totally.
It.
Totally. They're totally conflicted about this movie. So, like, first of all, everyone in this movie is a complete dick to Arthur Fleck, right? Even his name, it's Fleck, right? He's supposed to be a fleck of dirt. He's supposed to be insignificant. And everyone treats him like shit for no reason. He's shown being like a slightly strange man, but everyone treats him like complete shit. And there's no reason for him not to go down the path he does. He doesn't take an active decision because of conflicting factors in his life. This is the thing that annoys me the most, is the subplot with his supposed girlfriend, right? Halfway through the movie, it's revealed that this is a hallucination that he's concocted in his head, and that this woman never knew about him and never gave a shit about him. And I think that was such a cheap cop-out. And I think that the filmmaker chose to do that because they couldn't find a way to satisfactorily resolve that plot line. Because if this deranged killer once had a support system, once had someone who gave a shit about him, how did it go wrong? Resolving that question would have been so much more interesting than saying, oh, he never had a support system. In doing this, they're sort of, you know, going down the exact same narrative that Western media outlets have been criticized for doing so much, you know, characterizing all these killers as lone white males who are ostracized by society, who have no support systems. And by sort of, you know, perpetuating that image, it encourages people to be like, oh, you don't want to be noticed. You want to be noticed by society. Do you feel like you get treated like shit? You should do this. And that's sort of the message it's conveying as well. Instead of showing us how things can go wrong and how to prevent them and what kind of steps that he wasn't able to take, or what steps he chooses not to take, and what steps the people in his life choose not to take, they could have made a much more complex portrait, but instead everyone treats him like shit for no reason. Even his own mother treats him like shit. She's like, oh, don't you have to be funny to be a comedian, right? I think maybe that's a joke, but it comes off as extremely harsh, especially considering how well he takes care of his mother. He bathes her, he makes her sure she goes to bed, and she doesn't seem to like him very much. No one seems to like him very much. And that's just not, it doesn't present many challenges to our character. It doesn't make him have to overcome like this love, this support system. No, he just keeps going down the same path. And he's already very crazy to start with, like I said, so it's a very short path.
Yeah, and you just touched upon something really, really important right there, which is the narrative of mental health issues and how can you prevent them. I thought that this movie would do exactly what you said, show how things can go wrong and then how that would change if we can fix them. Because if you use an example of everything going wrong with the character, then it starts up the conversation on the outer world of, oh, hey, in this fiction world, this is what happened, but look, if we would have changed this at that particular moment, maybe he wouldn't have done it. If we would have changed this at that any other particular moment, maybe this wouldn't have happened. But as you said, that didn't happen. It was always everyone treating him like shit for no reason. He was just hated. And I like the topic that they wanted to touch upon, because mental health issues, especially in the US, is such a big issue right now. And it needs to be addressed more. But they failed to do it in a compelling manner that actually sparked the conversation.
I completely agree. It doesn't challenge audience. Well, it subverts audience expectations, but that's not the same thing as challenging audience expectations. It sets up things just for the sake of being surprised. Like, oh, look, this is how it turns out. Like the whole subplot with Thomas Wayne, right? Why was that necessary to the progression of the film? That doesn't reveal anything about our character, right? He already doesn't have a father figure, so reinforcing that, what does it do, right? It could have been tied into the class conflict issue that they presented in the film, but in the end he's like, oh, I'm not political at all, right? And he tries to distance himself from that, and it's more of a personal conflict rather than a political one. They could have intertied those things in so many ways, but they don't. All he does is find out that his mother's a liar, but that doesn't really matter, right? Because we don't care about the mother character anyway, because she treats him like shit, like I mentioned, right? If she had treated him well but turned out to be a liar, that would have been a lot more compelling. Him killing her would have been a decision instead of the inevitable path. Also, showing this sickly woman, right? Showing this woman who is already somewhat questionable in her mental health, right? And her physical health. Presenting her immediately to the audience, we already know that something is going to happen to her, right? Especially after the stroke. If that didn't kill her, something would. And it's a natural progression, and it doesn't challenge audience expectations in any way. It's just very disappointing, especially since there could have been many interesting developments, right, from that aspect, but there wasn't. And it's just sad. Also, how many times have we seen Batman's parents die in the past 10 years? Like, I mentioned this before, but it's absurd. Like, they keep showing Thomas and Martha Wayne dying. And this is another thing about not challenging the audience, right? And not keeping them active, right? And this is why, Mao, you told me that at points in this movie you wanted to sleep, right? You found it that boring,
Because
it doesn't engage us to think. It doesn't engage us to... Not only does it not engage us to relate with Fleck emotionally, right? It doesn't engage us to question what's going to happen next, right? When we see the Master Zorro thing and we see Thomas and Martha and Bruce exit the theater, right? Everyone who's ever picked up a Batman comic in their life, anyone who's ever seen a Batman movie in their life, right, knows exactly where this is going. Even people who've never seen a piece of Batman media but know about the character knows where this is going, right? And we see this clown character and they tie that in. I think that was smart, right? But how they ruin it is they show the full assassination, right? Rather than implying it, rather than going for the more subtle method, they completely go for the overt, show everything, right? Like, and that's so unnecessary. And that's another thing with this film, right? It doesn't believe that its audience is smart. It doesn't believe that we can pick up at hints. And therefore, as they show us everything in the most absurd and just in-your-face way. And that takes away from the subtle performance that Joaquin Phoenix is trying to give. And he does a great job, but the ham-fisted and heavy, super expositionary dialogue that I give him is not conducive with his performance, which he tries really hard in. The physicality work that he puts in, him changing his body and him contorting his face, all that is great, right? But the film is not giving him much to work with, and that's really unfortunate for such a gifted actor. And on top of that, they like to make him weird for the sake of being weird, right? They don't try and make him more empathetic. Like, you mentioned the fridge shot, right? And this man just empties out a fridge and crawls inside of it for no reason, right? The only reason they give it a shot is so like, oh my God, this guy is so weird, right? And even in the beginning, in the shot in the locker room, when he's playing around with his shoe, his body is bent over and it's contorted, right? But this is the beginning of the movie. Our protagonist should not seem this alien to us, like I mentioned. She shouldn't be shot like this at the beginning. He shouldn't make us feel this uncomfortable. Show us this shot later, once he starts to degrade mentally, once he starts to become a killer, once he starts to become more violent, then we buy into it. Then we're engaged with it, and we want to see where it goes. Don't set it up like this, because we know exactly how it's going to turn out.
Yeah, and I feel that if they were going to present him as weird and extravagant and alienated since the beginning, then they need to stay with the narrative for the rest of the movie. They need to stick with it and make it even worse so. Because if you don't want to make the character relatable, then don't, and go full out on not making him relatable. Don't stick on that line where you want to make us feel bad about him because they kick him. That's not going to work because you're making him weird as shit, but then we're supposed to relate just because he's a guy getting beaten up.
Exactly. And he doesn't try to pick himself up at all, right? I mean, this is a complicated issue because people with mental health issues struggle with it in different ways, and it affects people in different ways. But in the movie, right, his mantra that he says he follows is that he always tries to put on a smiley face, a bright face, and continue with his day because he wants to make people happy. We never see that. The only time he ever seems to be having fun is when he's in his own head hallucinating. When he interacts with people, he's always quite miserable. He's always quite angry. He's always quite sad. He doesn't try to cheer people up except for that one incident on the bus with the child, right?
I was going to mention that shot in a bit because I really like that. That
was a good
scene.
Yeah,
I liked it because it explored a deeper, like, it explored the life explored it on a deeper level. And that's what I like, because he showed the card that said, I have a disorder. Yeah. And that, for me, that was powerful. Like, why didn't they stay with that?
The two scenes with him, with that child on the bus and with Thomas Wayne, right? When he's actually just trying to relate with these children. He's trying to be a compassionate person. And he's putting on a bright face, right? And he's being smiley, right? More of that would have been so good for this film, because in those scenes, you actually felt bad for him. You're like, holy shit, this guy is actually a good person who actually wants to make people smile, who actually wants to be, you know, a functioning member of society, but he can't. And you feel really bad for him in those two specific scenes and nowhere else. Because everywhere else, he's just kind of a dick, right? Like,
yeah.
And he's just kind of mean to everyone. And he doesn't try to make the best of the situation despite claiming to, right?
Yeah.
And honestly, when this character played by Robert De Niro, by the way, the whole King of Comedy thing, right? If you guys want to see a movie like Joker, but done well, watch the 1980 movie by Martin Scorsese, King of Comedy. That's this movie done well, right? And that's why they hired Scorsese, because he basically plays the same character as Arthur Fleck, but better in that movie. And they use him as his talk show host. And when he goes like, oh, you're just feeling sorry for yourself. I mean, I was very conflicted when I heard that. For one, that's a really shitty thing to say to someone who's struggling with mental health. And people say that to people far too often in real life for it to be like, oh, yeah, that's okay, right? But at the same time, the way they characterize Fleck, you kind of feel that a little bit, right? And that's, again, that's not how you make an empathetic character, right? When you hear that, right, you should feel hurt for Fleck. You should be like, no, that's a totally unfair statement. He doesn't feel sorry for it. He tries to pick himself up so many times, and he tries to do so many things, but he always fails, right? The film doesn't show you that, right? He never tries to talk to this woman ever again. The next time he actually talks to her, not in his head, is he sneaks into her apartment, right?
Yeah.
He never tries to, like, make friends or anything, right? Showing an effort to do this, showing how he got to this point would have been much more interesting and would have made us care about him so much more and empathize with him on his journey, rather than showing him as a complete outcast, like a complete loner, right? Exploring how he got to this point, rather than putting us from him being crazy and unhinged to being crazy and unhinged without meds and without and with a reason to kill someone. That's just not compelling enough.
Do you think that the comment that he threw, because I want to dive deeper into that, the comment that he threw of you are just feeling sorry for yourself, kind of playing the victim card, do you think that that was a fair comment to make about Arthur?
I think that, again, I had such a mixed reaction to that, because in real life, I know how often that rhetoric is used and how harmful it is and how absolutely disgusting it is to be used sometimes. But in the movie, I kind of understood where he is coming from, because that's how the movie characterized Fleck. So I think it's somewhat fair. But again, I'm very uncomfortable saying that, because in real life, I know that's not true.
Do you think that, because you say that it's a disgusting rhetoric to use in real life, do you think that there might be cases in which it is kind of true? Maybe not saying you keep feeling sorry about yourself, but victim mentality, that it is actually a thing?
Possibly, but again, this film does not provide a nuanced perspective on that, right? Mm. At all, right? Like, it just shows people being shitty to him. It doesn't show anyone trying to reach out, right? Even mental health professionals in this movie are complete assholes to him, right? The woman straight up goes, they don't care about you, right? And then she makes it about herself. They don't care about me either, right? After dropping them, she doesn't try to ease him. And like he says, she doesn't talk to him, right? Like, this is like, it basically shows you how everything can go wrong, rather than showing you, like, how things could have gone right, and playing off the dichotomy and making it a more complex story rather than a very straightforward and predictable narrative. You know he's going to kill everyone who wrongs him, right? Except for his boss, anyone who even says something mean to him or does something wrong to him gets killed in this movie or gets attacked violently like the cops. And, like, it's very predictable as well. And it doesn't keep us engaged. It's we're like, okay, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. And a movie should be entertaining. Like, this movie, like I said so many times, is a very pretty movie, right? The cinematography is beautiful. And I enjoyed so many scenes. I remember so many scenes vividly. The stair sequence, when he's walking through the rain, that's a beautiful shot. The shots of him walking through these neon-lit streets where Gotham looks like this dystopic New York. It's beautiful, right? It feels like Taxi Driver. It feels like all these great 70s neo-noir films, right? And the sound design is flawless. The music is intense and dark. But all these visuals, all these audio cues sort of overcompensate for the lack of substance in this movie.
I agree. If I had to rescue stuff from the movie, it would be the acting. I think the acting was on point. The physicality of Arthur Fleck, how I like that, but as you mentioned previously, it was wasted. And the scenery and music, the shots, it was beautiful. After he killed the people before the cops start chasing after him, when he's dancing on the stairs, I thought that was a great shot. And that felt like the Joker. That felt, oh, finally the Joker is, this is the moment where he is officially the Joker. But then it got ruined by the chase, in my opinion, which was kind of pointless.
It kind of felt like...
It led to nothing.
Yeah, it literally didn't make any issue on his life, right? Like, if he had shown up to the talk show, right? There's still riots happening in Central Gotham. They mentioned that as a plot detail way earlier, so we know that, right? And so his appearance would still have been controversial and still would have, you know, caused issues the same way it did in the film, except for without the cops. Because the cops don't even die. They're in critical condition, right?
Yeah.
And they've stabilized. We hear that on the news. So, again, that's a pointless thing. And this film has so many pointless detours, which I don't understand. And it feels like it's padding its runtime and it's trying to make him more complex, but it doesn't, because it doesn't go anywhere and it doesn't have any profound impact on his characterization. Also, with the ending, right? The film needs to pick a damn ending. It stops and starts again so many times, right? And I'm just like, pick an ending and stick to it, because that'll be much more like impactful rather than, oh, car crash, oh, Martha and Thomas Wayne die, oh, he wakes up, oh, he dances in front of the audience with blood on his face. Like, come on, pick one and leave it at that and it'll be more impactful.
I got so confused about the ending in this case. I got really, really confused because, yeah, as you... You're right. Now that I think about it, there were many points in which I was thinking, okay, it's over. It's over. And no, it wasn't. And no, it wasn't. And then all of a sudden we get this weird sequence of him being at the mental hospital again, or...
Yeah, at the end.
Is he at the mental hospital again?
And then he supposedly kills the counselor because he walks out with blood on his feet and he gets chased by an orderly. Like,
it doesn't make sense to me. There were a lot of these little things that also... They took me out of the movie because of how nonsensical they were. One of the main ones was him sneaking into the movie theater or the gala, whatever that was happening. There's riots happening in front of them. It's complete chaos. He just goes under the barrier and through a door.
Also, like, again, Thomas Wayne, right? He's supposed to be, like, this very important rich person, right? Like, it's way too easy to get access to him and his family, right? And yeah, that's for the sake of the plot, but since this plot line goes nowhere, I find that even more redundant and even more ridiculous, right?
Just punches him in the nose. Exactly. And that's it.
why is Thomas Wayne a dick to this guy for no reason, right? Like, there's, again, that's just more people being shitty to him for the sake of being shitty to him, so that it's supposed to convince the audience, like, oh, all this accumulates, right? But what is the breaking point? Like, is it when he kills his mom? Is it? Is it when he kills his two former clown friends? Is that when it happens? Is it when he gets the call from Murray, I think his name was, the talk show host?
Yeah.
There's no specific point where you can be like, oh, no, this is what pushed him over the edge, right? Like, maybe that's supposed to be, like, Todd Phillips, the filmmaker. Maybe that's supposed to be, like, what he's trying to say, right? Like, oh, you know, you need to never find one factor but pushes someone over the edge, right? But that's how the film is designed. That's how... he shoots it. That's how the story goes, right? Things keep happening to him, right? So it appears sequential rather than being all these things are happening at once, rather than establishing all these things at the beginning of the film, right? They get introduced bit by bit after time. So it looks like a bunch of stones are being stacked up and one thing's going to knock them all over, which isn't the case with mental illness and breakdowns in real life, right? It isn't. Yeah. And so, again, there's this conflicting message that he's trying to give through a story that he doesn't commit to one way or the other. And I think that's lazy.
Do you think that despite the storyline being all over the place and the script writing not being the best, will it start the conversations that it wants to start about the topics that it seeks to address or not?
I don't think it will. I think it will create... I think people will talk about it in a different way. I think the debates that it's going to start aren't going to be very productive, right? Because the way that... You see, this is another thing that really disturbs me about this film, right? And that's when he's Arthur Fleck, right? When he's still a normal person that we're supposed to empathize with. When he's a functioning member of society. Like I said, he's shot like an alien outsider. He's shot as something disgusting. Something that makes you uncomfortable with all these close angles. With all these wide shots that put him in contrast with his surroundings, right? But that's when he's a normal person. And when he's the Joker, right? He is shot like a magnificent thing, right? He's shown like this action protagonist. He's dancing. He looks dynamic. The lighting is great on him, right? And that sensationalizes him and makes him look so much better, right? And again, that seems to me like it's enabling that behavior. It's like, yeah, this is what you should do. You should become a psycho, and that's when you'll become like, you would go from this low point to this high point, and that's such a harmful message in my opinion. And maybe again, that's not the film's intention, but that's what the cinematography puts it apart, right? And again, from a story standpoint, right, this is the climax. This is when the character embraces their true self, right? But when your true self is a killer, right, maybe change the way he's framed, right, but make it darker, make it wrong, don't celebrate it, right? So I think a possible issue is that a lot of people are going to come away from this movie idolizing Arthur Fleck and supporting what he stands for and saying like, yeah, like if society keeps treating us like this, all of us will become that way, right? And that's not the message you're supposed to come away from this movie with. It's that these things are preventable and that you should recognize the signs and that you should prevent yourself and other people from becoming this way, because the Joker is a monster, right? He is a criminal. He's a murderer. He's a cold-blooded psychopath, right? We should empathize with him before he becomes this way. That's the whole point of an origin story for a villain.
So what you're saying is that, if I'm understanding this correctly, and you can correct me because I think I might get it wrong, is that the issue is that the part of him having a mental disease is not relatable, is... it's just not relatable. We can't empathize. Whereas when he turns into this psychopath, that's the thing that is being glamorized.
Yes.
Right? So that's the issue that you found with the... I agree. I mean, to a certain extent, because, and this might be just my opinion, I didn't find the movie amusing. I didn't walk out feeling like it glorified the Joker, because it just... The movie wasn't entertaining.
I totally get that as well, right? But like, for people who, I know people who do find this movie good, right? Because we saw a lot of people saying it was good after we watched this movie, right? And the way the lighting is shown, right? You know, that, like I said, that shot is beautiful, right? Why is it beautiful, right? Why are all these like shots where he kills people so like later in the movie, not earlier in the movie, right? Later in the movie, why are they so well lit, right? Like the shot where he shoots Robert De Niro in the face, right? That's a wide shot that shows us all the gore, that shows us all this in bright lighting. We don't miss a single detail, right? Like, it certainly, you know, it is shocking, but at the same time...
Do you think that people who are non-movie and filmmaking connoisseurs, will they pick up on these small details?
I'm not sure, but I think that they do, like, especially with the swelling music, right? You know, they play, like, these rock soundtracks, right? Like, in the beginning, you hear, like, all this older music, all this sadder, more slow-paced music, but you notice when, like, the rock music comes in, you notice the vibe changes, right? I think people can notice that. Maybe they won't notice that the lighting turns from cold to warm and that the frame changes and that the aspect ratio changes and that he's shot from a different angle and all these things, but you can sense that something is different.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that casual audiences, not that I'm professional or anything, right? But that regular people who aren't trying to critique the film will notice that.
I can understand that. And I can relate to that because I don't see it with the same level of details that you did, but looking back on it, it does make sense, especially when you mentioned the staircase, why was it so beautiful? Yeah, that kind of makes sense, and understandably, good cause, a subjective or underlying message into the brains of the people, and yeah, as you mentioned, sending the wrong message. Is there anything we can take away from this movie?
Honestly, there are a few things that I think are valuable from this movie. Again, the cinematography and the sound design are really impressive. I also think that it's a different take on the same old superhero genre, which I do think is becoming incredibly saturated. So I do admire the attempt to go sort of unorthodox and show us something new, right? But I don't think it was entirely new. Like I said, it repeats a lot of the same old beats, right? I also think that it attempted to open up conversations about certain topics. Whether or not that'll be successful, we'll have to see. But I admire an attempt. I don't think it was very well done, but I still think that he tried at least, you know, to try and make this complex character and to explore these psychological themes. But again, these are just I want to clarify that these are my preliminary thoughts. I'm open to additional discussions about this, and I'm open to changing some of these opinions. But right now, this is how I feel about this film.
Yeah.
And I just don't think it was very good, and I don't think it was worth the hype. And I definitely think it is problematic. But more than anything else, I just really think it wasn't great, and that its writing was its weakest point, and that as a character-driven movie, it could have done so much more, had all this great potential, but didn't live up to it.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point, and I have to agree. These are just our first thoughts coming back straight from the movie. We haven't really taken the time to sit down and deeply analyze it, but I did want to get your first thoughts because we were talking about this and I thought it was so interesting. I have to say that I really wanted the movie to start the conversation on mental health and gun laws and violence and that type of conversation. However, I think that it's not going to do it in the way that I would have hoped for. Hopefully it still happens, but just the fact that this conversation that you and I just had steered more towards how the movie wasn't that great rather than the topics that it wanted to start conversations on gives a great hint on whether it's been successful on making us think about those topics. Because I didn't walk out thinking, oh, mental health, it's just I walked out thinking, God, this was boring.
Yeah, I didn't walk out thinking like, oh, like, that was, like, now that I think about it, I do think it is problematic, but that's not what I walked out thinking about, right? I was just like, why did I waste so much story? Like, why did this movie have to be as long as it had to be? Why was the pacing so off? Why were there so many unnecessary insertions? Like, that was what I was thinking about.
Yeah. Well, I think we can probably come back to this movie or any other topics of conversation regarding the larger issues that it seeks to touch upon, because I do want to talk in the future about mental health, and I do want to talk about like gun laws and violence and these type of issues in future podcasts. But I think that for now we can leave it there.
Sure.
Because I need to go back for fall break. I'm leaving in 2-3 hours to the airport, so I need to get everything ready.
Wow.
But thank you, Toby, for joining me and for having this discussion with me. If anyone else has an opinion that differs, let us know.
Yeah, please do. I would love to talk more about this movie or about movies in general. And thanks to Mao for having me on this show. And maybe I can come back next time and not spend all the time talking about a movie.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I would love that because I've been telling you this for a long time. I wanted to have you on to talk about a lot of other issues. But I just thought this was relevant right now.
Yeah.
I wanted to have this conversation.
I did too, and I'm happy to have had it. Thank you for having me again.
No, thank you for coming. And everybody else, give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and Spotify. Make sure to follow the podcast so that you don't only know about it when I post on Facebook, but you can actually see when I really upload it. Let us know your thoughts. Toby's going to be staying, you're staying here over fall break, so you can go up to him and have a lunch conversation with him about this. You can send me a message and I'll try my best to reply, but I'm on fall break, so I might not. And yeah, thank you, Toby.
Thank you, Mo. All
right, this was awesome.
Great.
Thank you, brother.
Dude, thank you for having me.
No, you're amazing. Oh, coughing.